I just felt like the political climate was getting worse and worse in terms of actually being able to work with each other, for each other in Congress and the three different branches of government. And I just felt like maybe there's something that I can do to make a difference. I decided to kind of self-propel myself across the country in different areas that were very interesting and unique and perspectives that I had absolutely no knowledge of prior. I am running back to New Hampshire. I will run back in New Hampshire for political office. So this is part of the run. My goal is to understand both sides of the equation so well that when it comes time to discussing a point, either whether it's, you know, about if I decide to run for city council or mayor, whether or not it's zoning a certain part of the city, or whether or not it's coming up with a new method for public transportation, that I can actually be able to see both sides of it and come up with a real solution for whatever constituency I'm serving.
Even if you don't end up going into political office, what do you hope to take away from all of this?
That's a good question. So the information that I'm gathering right now is actually mostly about writing a book. The book is called Democracy in America 2. The reason that I chose that specifically for the title of this book is that Democracy in America 1 was written by Alexis de Tocqueville back in the early 1800s. The premise behind that book was that he came over from France as part of the aristocracy, and you'll probably remember that the French Revolution had just happened prior to that, and they were basically looking for what type of government would fit France. And so they looked at America and said, well, there's this democratic experiment going on over there. So what can we take away as a nation that that we can actually use? Basically, Tocqueville he came over through Canada, essentially. Well, he came over, obviously, to Canada and then came down the border and basically traveled on stagecoach all around the country. He only had to go as far as Louisiana because that's how big the country was back then. But essentially, he traveled everywhere. He visited many different places. He focused on prisons, which I thought was interesting because he always felt as if you could see a government experiment failing in the prisons a lot quicker than you could actually see a government experiment failing in a city. So that was his premise. And to some degree, actually, with some of the conclusions that he came to, it's very hard to not validate that because he was able to predict the Civil War. He predicted a lot of things in these essays that he wrote, which he basically titled Democracy in America. So it's my goal to take a lot of the things that I learn on foot, talking to different people, learning different perspectives, to write a book, to write the sequel to Tocqueville's essays. And some of the things he didn't touch on because he didn't know about it was how would the technology revolution be able to affect the social climate of America. That's the part that I'm pretty much going to try to like concentrate on and add on to, but also what happens when gun technology gets better? What happens when climate change happens, which he didn't predict at all? So it's going to be very interesting to kind of see, number one, if I can do his original essays justice by being able to add on to those, but then number two, how that actually impacts some of his conclusions that he came to.
What's this interpersonal connection been like for you, having been in, you know, technology for so many years, this one-on-one, person-to-person, feet-on-the-ground feel for you? What's it been like for you?
Well, so I think one of the things that we've kind of studied and noticed during the technology revolution is that technology in some ways allows people to kind of sink into their own tendencies of communication. If you're an introvert, you can be an introvert and still communicate with people using technology. If you're an extrovert, most likely you use communication, you'll use text messages very often, but I think that you'll always kind of want to engage more senses than just sight. And I think that's the interesting part is that technology has only engaged really a couple of senses at a time, or even one sense at a time. Like you said, inflection of voice is very important in radio. But what I find interesting is that text actually only engages sight when it comes to communication. And that's a very interesting concept where you're not engaging all of the senses that you're used to. You don't engage smell, although in many cases you don't, but you don't engage a lot of the things, even in radio and even in, you know, when you're talking to somebody on the phone, you still don't engage all your senses. With me talking to farmers and being able to smell their environment, which I think is a little bit weird for some people, but being able to smell the environment that they're in gives me a much more rich sense of what they deal with on a daily basis. And I feel like technology in some ways, or even mass communication. I don't even want to say that it just started with the mobile revolution. I think TV has also been kind of an interesting purveyor of removing senses away from some of the communication and connection that we've been able to make with each other. it has done an injustice in some ways, whereas I don't necessarily see communication as getting better. I think what it does is it makes us more connected, but I don't think it does communication justice because of all the nuances that are required for decent communication. We might be able to find a common ground if we're able to engage all of our senses and talk. And not just talk, have inflection, have face-to-face conversations, continuously debate with this element of respect, which is very important. It's missing right now, and it's lacking, and I think that it's contributing to something that I wouldn't put it on the par of something like climate change, but I would absolutely put it on the par of destroying our social fabric. I never want to get away from this idea that if I disagree with somebody, I don't want to meet with them face-to-face. I want to have a chat with them face-to-face, and I want to have a long chat with them face-to-face if I can, because I feel like respect can be built based upon engaging somebody and taking the time to engage somebody. And that's what this whole journey is about. It's about taking the time to actually talk to somebody, taking the time to actually understand their perspective, and seeing whether or not there are concepts or ideas that we actually do have agreement on, but it's been buried in hyperbole and dogma and the desire to attack because you've been attacked and all of these different elements that just don't need to be there.
It sounds like you're just trying to every day, every mile, one by one, trying to touch people, trying to connect with people, trying to learn from people of different backgrounds and thoughts and beliefs. I mean, the whole idea of why you even started doing this, right, was the divide in our government. That, in many ways, is reflective of the country, is it not?
It's absolutely reflective of the country. I have debates. One of the guys that actually joined me, that joined me on the journey, I have debates with him online all the time. And he doesn't agree with a lot of what I say online, even though I don't really say anything. I kind of say something, but don't really say anything. I just kind of show, something. I repost an article or I do something like that. And, whether or not he believes or disagrees with the actual article itself, I think that's where he goes towards. But when he joined me on the journey and we actually talked through things, we found out that we actually have a lot of similarities in the way that we approach things, in the way that we want things for others. And the technology side of bringing us together has also created shortcuts for all of us that make it easier to communicate and yet make it more difficult and challenging. And I think that experiment in and of itself of running from door to door, taking out any sort of technology, of even driving past a region, of even biking past a region, basically running from place to place where I can observe environments, where I can see things by myself, where I can take pictures, where I can remember things, and I can talk to people that are in their own environments, which, by the way, is a key component of making people feel comfortable about opening up, is that you put them in their environment and you go to their environment and you ask what they feel could be right for both them and their environment. It changes the perspective completely. They feel more comfortable. It's easier to open up and it's easier to chat about very, very simple things that can actually make their lives better and that allow them in turn to make others' lives better. The one thing that I'm concerned about more than anything else is we're losing our ability to communicate with each other, to agree with each other, and it's actually and our government is actually not the rationale for that or the reason for that. They're actually just kind of like a symptom of the much larger problem, whereas they're reflective of the way that we want to communicate with each other. And I worry about that more than anything else. The idea that we are electing these officials to go into office and that we're okay with the way that they communicate with others inside of their chambers might be actually indicative of the way that we want to, or the way that we see our future America. And I worry about that dramatically. I find that in the places that I visited already, no matter what perspective they've had, we've been able to kind of talk on a level that has been very deep, very meaningful for both myself and for them. And I've already learned so much about regions, about people in general, about people I would never thought to have agreed with online or in any other environment. I find that we're actually not that different. So, seeing people, seeing different perspectives, it's been rewarding and it's been challenging, and I look forward to whatever the next 4,500 miles bring.
Does it give you a lot more hope than when you first started?
Oh, yes. I can't tell you how much hope it's given me. Maybe that's what this is about. If any listeners would care, it's that the ability for me to see people in their own environments for who they are and the way that they talk gives me a great deal more hope than it ever would if I sat online and argued on Facebook. There's no equivalent for what I've been able to do and how I can tell people that if you ever in your lives get the chance to do that in your own environments, if you, in your own cities, in your own towns, in your own regions, if you could just, you know, get out of your house and, you know, go talk to your neighbors that you may or may not agree with, or go talk to your city council members, or go talk to your board of educators, or anyone that might serve your region. It will be eye-opening for you, and I think that it will bring you to an understanding that you haven't had before.